You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Monday, January 5th, 2015. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Mario Cuomo passes. Mikey Suits Grimm from Staten Island exit Congress after a plea deal for criminal charges. Over the past couple of weeks, the IRS scandal completely evaporated and fell apart upon a report by Republican lawmakers. I can guarantee you I spent hours with Independent Mike on the emails. Conservatives pretend that they are going to oust Speaker Boehner in an attempt to increase email lists and right-wing talk radio ratings. Police in New York City continue on with their work slowdown. What happens if nobody notices? Meanwhile, one of those two officers who was murdered at their funeral over the past week and a half that we've been off. And in Pittsburgh, a police chief gets an earful from his police union about being against racism. Speaking of racism, third ranking Republican in the House apparently spent a lot of time with David Duke's organization. It's probably just a coincidence he had all those problems with the Martin Luther King holiday. We will talk about Steve Scalise. And a surprise, surprise, we're getting results from this past year in terms of global warming. It was the warmest year on record globally, at least according to the Japanese. Of course, they run those cottage industries all the time, the Japanese government. And first up will be the Keystone Pipeline. We shall see. Meanwhile, we'll look back on just a couple. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on and stuff that we missed, but just breaking. In Florida, and this was anticipated, a court in, I believe it was Miami-Dade County, decided to lift the stay that had been put upon the marriage equality, essentially, in Florida. And at 2 p.m. today, we will have full marriage equality in Florida, which will mean that 70% of Americans live in a state with marriage equality now in this country. Just stunning. I got to go back and look, but I would imagine that percentage was around 15% at the start of 2013. And we have a heartwarming story about how some counties, they're just going to stop marrying people altogether, so that they don't have to get that icky feeling that they apparently will get if they see two people who are in love but are of the same sex. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What's that?
I said, I'm sure a lot of them could imagine
it. Well, that's yeah, apparently, sure, yeah. Apparently that's all they've been contemplating. We've got to shut down all marriages. That way we're not discriminating. I mean, all right, kudos to them for, I don't know. It's just so pathetic. Dinosaurs. Dinosaurs. All right, folks, happy new year to you all. I trust that you had a good New Year's. We obviously have been on vacation for a week and a half. It seems like it was I think that's one of the longest vacations I've had in years. A Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, of course, we had new material on those days, but we weren't live. And then the entire next 5 days, I think that sets a record for me in for years and years. I mean, short of the times that I was fired by Air America. Just to give you a little backstory, I went to Michigan to see my in-laws. We stopped en route to the airport at 7 a.m. on Wednesday morning, no less than 3 times, because Myla thought she was going to vomit. So we were pretty convinced, the driver, we got to call the car to make sure that somebody was there at 7 in the morning. The guy was in a minor panic that she was going to throw up in his new car. And so we had to stop. We didn't even make it to the BQ&E when she was already like, oh, I don't think I'm going to go. But we ended up making it. I gained 17 pounds over the past 8 days, which I thought was pretty impressive. That was about 2 pounds a day. And you can't just do that. You can't just will that. You have to drink enormous amounts of alcohol and use it to wash down cookies, cake, and ice cream.
Specifically,
whatever I could get my hands on in any possible context, beer, wine, whiskey, which I never drink, vodka, some liqueurs. There was absolutely no discriminating on what kind of alcohol I was going to consume amongst the in-laws. So it was, I have no idea. Whatever the special was, whatever the non-special was, whatever was left on the table by somebody else, it didn't matter. All right, let's dig into this. Let's start with the IRS, because that story came out basically as I was heading for the door. And I had no less than a dozen email exchanges with Indie Mike, who wrote me thousands of emails over the past year and a half, 2 years, whatever it is, talking about how the IRS scandal just should be just rocking my world. Like, how could you continue to support this administration after what happened at the IRS? Now, just to recap, the IRS was tasked with determining whether or not people who are organizations, I should say, apply for a nonprofit status wherein their donors could be anonymous. The IRS was tasked with determining whether or not these organizations were primarily social service organizations or social, I don't know what exactly the wording is. Basically, organizations that are supporting the social good as opposed to electioneering. And they came up, there's a whole subset of issues about actually this was a rule change by the IRS and statutorily. It's not just primarily, but it should be exclusively for social benefit organizations. But nevertheless, this is the terrain that we were dealing with. In 2012, I believe it was, after Citizens United, they were inundated by applications to award this status. And so in some offices, they took some shortcuts. Not unlike the way that you would if you were doing a college admissions and you say, okay, we're going to do a cutoff here, or we're going to look for people, you know, whatever it was. And they targeted organizations by looking for specific words. If the words Tea Party were there, they would pull those applications out, and that would be the first round of applications they would scrutinize. Or if it said progressive, they would also do it. They did have added scrutiny to about 80 more, I think it was 120 conservative groups and about 40 progressive groups. You should also know, though, that 80% of the applications they got came from conservative groups. So, in fact, if there was any disproportion, it was that they did not scrutinize conservative groups as much as their disparity of applications warranted. And I offered all of this to Indy Mike in our emails. But it was when the 18-month congressional investigation ended into the Internal Revenue Service's supposed mistreatment of these conservative groups, which, by the way, they rejected none of these applications, which led to the most tortured of reporting by this investigation as to what went on, which essentially said the IRS really had clear disdain for these icky conservative groups. Because I think there was an email, actually, which referred to, like, this group sounds icky. And they only begrudgingly did their duty and followed the law meticulously. So in other words, the whole scandal was about the IRS or certain IRS agents doing their job in an incredibly professional manner, but doing so with, like, just a heavy heart. They were begrudging. So it's basically like when Maya clears the table but has a look on her face that I don't appreciate. That was warranted the 18-month investigation. And so it goes the way of Benghazi, although I imagine Benghazi will come back. They will find something new so that they can talk about Hillary Clinton. But let's move on to what? What's going to be next.
What was the response?
Oh, from Indy Mike?
Right.
It was constant ignoring the fact that I was talking about that. It was, you liberals, you know, you are so blind, Sam, that you can't even see your own bias. And I just would keep writing back. To answer the question, do you still feel this is a scandal?
What's so beautiful is that you two are the only ones that even remember that this thing happened.
Right.
Like, you're connected cosmically.
Yeah. 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 It really was.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of entertainment had by Lawyer Matthew, who, whenever I get into these correspondences, I CC him because he's the one who got me into
this. He's an incredible instigator.
Incredible instigator.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that was that. And so it ends. Mikey Suits, Michael Grimm, you all know the story of this congressman from Staten Island who was indicted. He ended up winning his election, and that gave him a leverage probably to get a better quality deal from the federal government. He has now stepped down, and it means one less vote in support of Speaker Boehner, as Speaker of the House. However, by all accounts, conservatives do not, and I don't know what conservatives even mean, the outsiders don't have the vote to stop Speaker Boehner from becoming the Speaker of the House. Because, of course, this is all for pretend anyways. The House Republicans start off this Congress with 246 seats. They won 247, of course, but like I say, Mikey Suits from Staten Island is already quitting. If every Republican who opposed Bonaire in 2013 is joined by every new Republican on the record against him, Bonaire gets 223 votes. He needs 218. It would appear at this point that despite the fact that Louis Gohmert and is it Ted Yolo?
Yoho.
Ted Yoho have put their hat in the ring. And despite the fact that David Bratt. You remember David Bratt, the guy who unseated?
I really don't.
Cantor?
Yeah. Now I remember.
He has written in an op-ed for
Breitbart. That should be the perfect summary of his career.
Well, no, wait a second. Let me add, he wrote in an op-ed for Breitbart.com that even though he liked Speaker Bonaire personally, he just can't vote for him because of the cromnibus. So in other words, somebody went to Bratt and said, hey, look, here's your choice. You can just be a backbencher, or you can get this freebie vote because he's never going to get unseated, and you can build your email list, and you can tour in, 2 or 4 years when you're done being a congressman. And I think that's basically what he went for. So I'm not sure when the vote will be held, sometime in the, I think tomorrow. But anticipate Speaker Bonaire remaining the speaker. And then the question will become, I mean, these basically looking forward now, there are three or four stories that we're going to see. One is this Bonaire election, which I think is a foregone conclusion. The next will be whether or not Steve Scalise can hold on to his job as the House Majority Whip, the number three in the Republican caucus, even though it has now been revealed that in 2002, as a Louisiana lawmaker, and this is according to, well, he is now conceded. It was initially reported through someone coming through Stormfront, which is one of the Internet's oldest and most acclaimed white supremacy sites, where people were hyping Steve Scalise when he was first running for Congress because of his speaking at Euro. What is Euro? It is the European American Unity and Rights Organization. Europeans? What are they doing in Louisiana? Why would Europeans have an organization about their rights in Louisiana? Its leader was David Duke, of course, the former Grand Wizard of the KKK, and also a Europhile, I guess. He was
Those are totally separated activities.
Yes.
One is about violent white supremacy. The other is about preserving French culture.
Not just the French, but all European culture. Things like demitasses and espressos.
And lattes.
Yes,
if I could do a real random callback.
And Steve Scalise spoke at this to this organization. He now is claiming, look, I had no idea what it was. I just went there to discuss tax policy and how now you should know back in 2002, there was probably a Euro website which railed against the Zio media lies. Now, I suppose Zio could be just a drink in Euro.
or in Europe, but it turns out to be the Zionist media lies. Yeah. And Scalise just said, look, I just happened to go there. Although in 1999, he said he agreed with many of David Duke's conservative views. His conservative ones. You know, the conservative views about how great Europe is. Supported by his organization, Euro.
A real problem with his liberal racism.
I had no idea, Scalise said, that there was white supremacist views of that group. I was unaware of it when I was a state lawmaker. Now, coincidentally, Steve Scalise was one of six out of 96 lawmakers in the Louisiana State House who voted to make MLK Day a state holiday. And you say, well, but look, back then, the 80s, in the 90s, even obviously in the 70s, it was very contentious. This was in 2004. And he was one of six out of 96 who voted against it. Just another one of those weird coincidences. And why did he do it? Of course, we all know why he did it, because it's not a holiday in Europe. So why would you have it be a holiday here?
In his defense, 2004 was 11 years ago, Sam.
That's right. And now that we're in 2015, it was 11 years ago.
My thinking about the Reverend Martin Luther King really shifted in around 2013. You know, it was a very controversial figure in America until that point.
So David Duke now, in, I guess, a means in which to protect Scalise. And I should say, you know, there have been, I think at this point, six or seven Republican lawmakers who have come out and said that they are going to vote against Speaker Boehner. There have been zero who have criticized Steve Scalise. David Duke has come out and said, apparently to Effusion Television, I've grown up, the rush to repudiate Scalise and his possible white nationalist sympathies is all BS. I know who the real racists are, says David Duke. And he is claiming, if Scalise is going to be crucified, if Republicans want to throw Steve Scalise to the woods, then a lot of them better be looking over their shoulders. In other words, David Duke is saying, if I'm that toxic, there's a lot of people who.
By the way, I like.
Do
you notice to the woods instead of to the wolves? That's a Euro phrase,
right?
To the woods,
as opposed to under the bus, right?
A very American.
To the woods is much more Scandinavian,
more genteel.
Yes,
more David Duke expressing his appreciation for European culture.
That's right.
Even in that soundbite.
That's right. To the like the forest, as sometimes as he would say.
I do urge him to come out with those. I dare you. Come out with those names.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if that prevents other Republicans. But look, let's be fair here. Not every Republican is racist. But what is clear is that the racists are such a large voting bloc within the Republican Party that no one will even criticize a member of the leadership for having such close ties with a white supremacy group. I mean, I'm not saying anything that is new or profound, but, you know, it's 2015. It's nice to get a reminder on the first day of 2015. It is very, very convenient. And I know, I'm being so intolerant as a liberal to show such intolerance for a European group. It's called Euro, ladies and gentlemen. I love that. I love it. We'll take some calls soon, but we've still got more stuff to go on. This is a horrible story. That again took place. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. There's a couple more stories that preview what's going to happen in Washington, I guess. The next is going to be, of course, the vote on the Department of Homeland Security on their budget. That's not probably going to come for another month or two. Ostensibly, the conservatives will take a vote, which maybe that they'll get after they elect Bonaire, Speaker of the House, to show how angry they are at the imperial presidency of President Obama in his granting, well, not technically amnesty, but a 3-year reprieve, deferred action on their immigration status to about 5 or 6 million people. Also, we're anticipating the first vote we may see out of the Senate is supposedly going to be about Keystone XL. And it's going to be interesting to see. It may take a while to get out of the Senate because supposedly there's we're going to see the return of an open amendment process in the Senate. And in which case, the bill to support Keystone XL may get tied down in the Senate. Once it passes the Senate, it's going to easily pass the House. And then the question is, will President Obama veto the bill? And will there be enough in the Senate to override the veto in the House? There won't be enough to override a veto. The question is, will he veto it? It'll be interesting to see. My guess is that it'll be easier for him to veto this bill, basically because oil has now gone under $50 a barrel, which I know Bush and Chains is very temporary. People should be out there buying gold right now.
Also, I think President Obama said enough things about how dubious claims around Keystone XL are that it doesn't appear like somebody who's setting himself up to back it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't consistently say the job numbers are inflated and this might have bad environmental consequences.
The biggest thing that he said was, and I wanted to get to this a little bit later, but I'll talk about it now. The most relevant thing that he said regarding Keystone was that it had no benefit, period, to the American public. I mean, that's the bottom line. He said back in December, quite explicitly, it's very good for Canadian oil companies. It's good for Canadian oil industry, but it's not going to be a huge benefit to U.S. consumers. He's setting it up, I think, in a way that is quite clear that he will veto it. Now, starting, I think, this week or next week, the Senate will, I guess, debate a bill or try and develop a bill out of the Senate Energy Committee, chaired by Lisa Murkowski. And I guess it's the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. And the first hearing starts on the 7th. So it's going to start, there's going to be hearing this week, sorry, on Wednesday. And then I think they're going to come out with a bill the following day. There are about a half dozen or seven or somewhere around there Democratic votes. But even still, that brings the number to less than two-thirds. So they won't be able to override a veto in the event that there is a veto by President Obama. Before we go into the better half, I want to talk about this story. It's a horrible story. Very sad. And, you know, we talked at the beginning of the show about the news out of Florida where marriage equality will now be the law of Florida as of, I don't know, almost by the time we end this program today. The stay has been lifted, and it represents, I'm not sure, the 36th state now in the country where marriage equality is law of the land. 70% of Americans now live in a state where marriage equality is the standard. The implications of this are, I mean, I think it's fairly obvious from the perspective of people who want to get married. And it may also be somewhat obvious from the perspective of people who want to be considered just a citizen, essentially, with the same rights as the person standing to their left or their right. What it has done, I think, also, and perhaps on some level, most importantly, I don't know. I don't know how you gradate these things, is to send a message to younger people that you are not an illegitimate person. You are not a freak if you are gay. And, I mean, it seems like such an obvious thing to say now. But, you know, the reality is that when I was a kid, and certainly before then, there was no indication from society whatsoever of anything other than you're some type of freak if you're gay.
I think even when Matt and I were kids, there was, I mean, I don't think it was as bad as that, but there was a much higher tolerance of like calling kid a fag or whatever. I mean, it's mind blowing.
But at least, I mean, you know, I'm not sure when you guys went to high school, but even like things like Will and Grace, you know, that you had or the Ellen, right, coming out. At least there was some sense of like, yeah, look, here's someone who can be celebrated and they're gay. And so there was at least some indication of like, you're not going to have to live your life denying who you are. You can actually come out and you will not be, or there are some people who have escaped punishment, let's say, for that. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. And I think the relevance of that for a young person is huge. And I think in 10 years, I think all of that is going to be gone. I mean, I really do think, yes, there's going to be some pockets and they're going to be in religious fundamental pockets. But the ability to escape those pockets is going to be obvious even to, I think, like, you know, tween age kids. Sadly, we're nowhere close to that in terms of transgender kids. I mean, I think there's definitely some, we're at early stages of it. And I think what's happening with marriage equality is going to help. But the story of Lila Alcorn, who was a transgender teenager from Ohio. And this happened, I guess, just a week ago yesterday. She was born a boy. She I guess at a very young age, age four, according to her, realized that she was a woman or a girl, I guess, or had feelings that she was a girl trapped in a boy's body. And she committed suicide a week ago yesterday by basically, as far as I can tell, walking on the interstate and throwing yourself in front of a truck. And she had posted a suicide note to her Tumblr account. I guess she had future published it and left it in her queue to publish automatically. And the idea was that in the event that she decided not to kill herself, she would take it out of its queue. I'm going to read just a little bit from it. It really is incredibly heartbreaking. And let me just read a little bit. If you're reading this, it means I've committed suicide and obviously failed to delete this post from my queue. Please don't be sad. It's for the better. The life I would have lived isn't worth living in because I'm transgender. She goes on to talk about how she's felt this way ever since she was four. She was 17 when she killed herself. She writes, when I was 14, I learned what transgender meant and cried of happiness. After 10 years of confusion, I finally understood who I was. I immediately told my mom, and she reacted extremely negatively, telling me that it was a phase, that I would never truly be a girl, that God doesn't make mistakes, that I am wrong. If you're reading this, parents, please don't tell this to your kids. Even if you are Christian or against transgender people, don't ever say that to someone, especially your kid. That won't do anything but make them hate themselves. That's exactly what it did to me. When I was 16, I realized that my parents would never come around and that I would have to wait until I was 18 to start any sort of transitioning treatment, which absolutely broke my heart. The longer you wait, the harder it is to transition. I felt hopeless, that I was just going to look like a man in drag for the rest of my life. On my 16th birthday, when I didn't receive consent from my parents to start transitioning, I cried myself to sleep. I formed a sort of FU attitude towards my parents and came out as gay at school, thinking that if I eased into coming out as trans, it would be less of a shock. Although my reaction from my friends was positive, my parents were pissed. They felt like I was attacking their image, that I was an embarrassment to them. They wanted me to be their perfect little straight Christian boy, and that's obviously not what I wanted. So they took me out of public school, took away my laptop and phone, forbid me from getting any sort of social media, completely isolating me from my friends. This was probably the part of my life when I was the most depressed, and I'm surprised I didn't kill myself. I was completely alone for 5 months. No friends, no support, no love. Just my parents' disappointment and the cruelty of loneliness. Apparently, they ultimately let him, or her, I should say, get back in contact with her friends. But at that point, apparently, it seemed like there was a rift with the friends. She was, I think, clearly depressed. After a summer of having almost no friends, plus the weight of having to think about college, save money for moving out, keep my grades up, and go to church each week, I feel like shit because everyone there is against everything I live for. I've decided I've had enough. I'm never going to transition successfully, even when I move out. I'm never going to be happy with the way I look or sound. I'm never going to have enough friends to satisfy me. She goes on like this and ends it by saying, my death needs to be counted in the number of transgender people who commit suicide this year. I want someone to look at that number and say, that's effed up, and fix it. Fix society, please. Goodbye, Leela Alcorn. Her mom, when interviewed on CNN, still refused to recognize that she self-identified as a girl. She said, we don't support transgender identity religiously. Her mother continued, we told him that we loved him unconditionally. Supposedly they put him through or her through some type of Christian therapy. But there's calls essentially to provide LGBT kids with more mechanisms to actually get out from under and, you know, maybe go to a court at age 16 to see if they can get some type of court-granted consent to begin at least some transitioning. The heartbreaking thing about this is, you know, for a 16-year-old kid, months, years even seem like an eternity. And,
you know, as a parent, though, like even if you're religious and you don't believe that transgender is a thing or whatever, and you're that close-minded and ridiculous, but like just as a parent, wouldn't you just, you know, if you think they're just a phase they're going to grow out of, why not just go along? Like, why make your kid feel that way? Why make your kid feel like shit? Like, it's just amazing to me, the heartlessness of this whole story. And on top of it, it gets even more depressing because, I mean, it's clear that Lila wanted to put this Tumblr post up to help other kids, you know, make people realize don't treat transgender right. teens like this. And her whole Tumblr page has been removed now. The parents requested the entire Tumblr be taken down. So the suicide note that wow. she put up and all the Tumblr posts she ever put up are just gone now.
Well, I would imagine at least, at the very least, people have saved, you know.
I mean, I'm sure the note was right. saved, but I'm sure, you know, if you look through her history, I'm sure there were things she was saying that right. in retrospect, you know, could have helped someone.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning. It's pretty stunning. And it's, you know, it is really the saddest part about this on some level is how many kids are going to kill themselves until we get to where we're inevitably going to get to, which is an acceptance of transgender people. And we're seeing it, you know, there was over the past even 3 or 4 months, there's been a couple of legal cases that have been very, you know, positive. The military has, decided that they were going to, I guess the dynamic, if I remember correctly, was that following your service, they were going to recognize people changing their name and gender and continue to offer benefits. I think we saw in New Jersey a court case that allows for more legal status for transgender people. I mean, it's just horrible to contemplate how many kids are going to commit suicide between now and whenever society gets, and it's going to happen, and it may be 5 years, maybe 10 years. When society, when, you know, that kid is not going to feel so isolated and is going to have, if they have parents who are that bat crap crazy fundamentalist, that person's going to be able to, you know, whatever it is, go and have access to people who can, you know, sort of make them understand or at least help them hang on till adulthood. And this kid was aware of the It Gets Better campaign. And I think that's what's even more heartbreaking is that, you know, it's just very hard for teenagers to have a, you know, to realize that 3 or 4 years can make all the difference in the world. And also, I mean, I think she was probably depressed.
But like for transgender teens, can you imagine, you know, you identify as part of a group, you know, LGBT, and you see all these milestones happening with
right.
other people who are in this group, lesbians, gays, and you see that, you know, it's not changing that much quite yet for transgender right. people. So, I mean, that's got to hurt. It really right. does, you know?
Right. That's a very good point. All right. We got to take a break. We're going to head into the fun half. In the fun half, we're going to talk about the police and what's been going on in that regard. We'll dig a little bit more into climate. We've got a lot of fun reports on how this year has been the hottest ever and how Miami now is just on the brink of being basically an open sewer. We have a final salutation from Michelle Bachmann. Also, a couple of victories. You all remember Boggs, that judge. He's going bye-bye. He will not get that nomination. What else do we have in the the Pope. Apparently coming out with a big, papal edict on global warming, I guess is what they call it. That is going to make a lot of, I think, people upset. Finally, we'll hear them talk about how religious people should not be involved.
What I like about the timing of this is that, you know, the Koch brothers made an attempt, or people associated with them made an attempt a couple of months ago to say, like, oh, we're in line with the Pope. We just want to do this through civil society or some nonsense like that. And I like how with each step, the Pope is just making it more and more impossible.
Right.
He's like, oh, no, let me be clear. We should have socialized medicine. Oh, no. We need to deal with global warming as a scientific moral necessity.
Well, this is not a coincidence. I mean, next year we're going to see the UN meeting in Paris, the climate talks, at the end. I think it's in September of next year. And so there's going to be a lot of stuff building up to that, in addition to, you know, the deal with China and the U.S. So we will get to all that in the fun half. Folks, let me remind you, in 2015, you can join many of your Majority Report listeners and become a supporter of the Majority Report for just pennies, like 33 pennies a day. You can support this program, allow us to continue on and get better and expand and just maintain, frankly. So become a member today. Join themajorityreport.com. Join themajorityreport.com. Also, you can support this program by buying your coffee from justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. It's a win-win-win. I mean, it's great coffee. It's all fair trade. It's a co-op. It's owned by the employees. And you get 10% off with the coupon code MAJORITY. What could be better? Also, if you buy crap from Amazon, remember, MajorityReportKickback.com. You click on the Amazon link at MajorityReportKickback.com. You just purchase your crap from Amazon, as you apparently already do, and then we get a kickback. All right, folks. We'll be right back with the fun half of the program. Back in a minute. Happy New Year.
I give her my love. She says no. She says no, 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 'cause you're only afraid to leave, only a brother to leave. She's a pretty little dog who says no. Just a little dog, and she knows I love her so. If I ask her to walk with me, she shakes her head at me. She's a pretty little dog who says no. Ask her to walk with me. Why can't she ever see me?
She says you're only afraid to lose me. Only a brother to lose me. She's a pretty girl. She says no, 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 no. All the night time through, she says no, 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 no. If I ask her to walk. She'll say no, 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 no. She'll say no.